Turn holiday travel from stressful to rewarding. Rakuten helps you save big on travel. They give you cash back when you book with sites like Expedia, Best Western, and Hertz. Even better, you can stack cash back on top of other rewards, like airline miles, credit card points, and hotel loyalty programs. Rakuten partners with over 3,700 stores, including Away Luggage, Ray-Ban, and Macy's, so you can be prepared with all the travel essentials and, of course, cute fits for your trip. Keep the rewards going with cash back on holiday gifts for friends and family. With Rakuten, you'll never miss out on savings at your favorite stores. The stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Join for free and start your shopping at Rakuten.com or use the Rakuten app. That's Rakuten.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Tiffany here from Swish, and I want to talk about being a problem solver. In my classroom, I'm always telling my ICFirsties to be problem solvers. In first grade, that's one thing, but in adult life, it's a whole other. It can be really difficult to train your brain to go into a problem-solving mode. Maybe you don't even know where to start. It's a challenge that we all face in life. But when you learn to better help your brain find solutions, it's truly a great feeling. And if you've ever been thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. BetterHelp is convenient, it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's all online. And on top of that, they match you with a therapist just by filling out a brief survey. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/swish today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/swish.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone.
Hello and welcome to episode 75 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
I'm Katie.
And I am Swish and Flick.
This episode is sponsored by Samantha Layden. Mm-hmm. Yes. Everyone in agreement of that last name?
Yeah. Sure.
All right.
Thank you, Samantha.
Here we go. Thanks. Today we will be discussing chapter 5 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. Weasley's wizard wheezes, so make sure that you have read the chapter and you're ready to dive into the Olympic-sized pool of details. Before we begin, let's go to...
Man.
For the weekly profit. What do you got for me, ma'am?
Well, since it is now the new year and we are no longer spoiler-free...
Wait, what?
I said we were going to be spoiler-free till the end of the year.
Dumbledore dies?
So there's this really cool article that came out with some people who went back into like the coding of J.K. Rowling's website and got a screen grab of the top.
Stop.
The header. And she has a book at the top of her page, and it is called Marcus Aurelius.
Oh, yeah. He's an like Greek dude or something.
Yeah.
Roman dude. Yeah.
Rome.
Yeah.
Rome.
So this was before the first Fantastic Beasts movie came out, but it was like after the Potter series still. Like it was maybe like 2 or 3 years ago that this was like at the header of her page. But still, she was cluing us in without us ever knowing. It's just a book cover that says Marcus Aurelius and it says answers.
Why are you laughing?
You're like, what does it look like? And Megan's like, it's a book.
So it looks like she didn't think it was a dumb question.
No, but it was
there
the top.
No
it was
questions.
That's false.
It was the header of the answers section on her page, and it said Marcus Aurelius. So I'm just saying.
What are you saying, Megan?
I'm saying that she's a genius.
Yeah, don't doubt her.
I'm saying it's a book.
Doubt Joe.
And we're all going to collectively take a sip of tea.
I have popped.
Does that count?
None of us actually. Nice.
Nobody had to admit that we don't have tea.
Yeah, nobody can see us right now.
Well, guys, tea doesn't sponsor us, okay? It's coffee.
You're not even drinking coffee.
The whole of the entire tea leaf will sponsor us. Oh, my gosh.
Anyway.
So I just thought that was cool. And, yeah.
That's all right.
That's my weekly profit for you.
Katie, I really enjoy your recap.
Yeah.
like, you know, you have nothing written there. She's like, oh, it's just a recap of like, we went to, yeah.
It's a recap in my head. So our last episode was me and Meg talking about our second half of our European extravaganza over in London. It was all about
studio tour.
Mm-hmm, studio tour and just random London must-sees.
Our meetup in London, mm-hmm. Our muggle walking tour that we did.
What's a muggle?
I don't know.
What's a muggle with you?
So many things.
And our day in Disneyland Paris, which we touched on briefly.
Yeah. See, joint recap.
Quite briefly.
Done.
Nice.
Yep.
Okay.
Is it my turn?
It is.
Alrighty, Rue. So, we are finally back at the Burrow. Thank the Lord.
Oh my God.
Because who likes the Dursleys? No one.
The Dursleys?
The Dursleys. They don't like when people get their name wrong, so I do it on purpose just to annoy them. So Harry finally gets to meet Charlie.
Oh my God.
Fred and George get in trouble for a bit while Harry, Ron, Ginny, and Hermione all head upstairs for a serious conversation. But they shave it for later because Ginny is with them and she don't know about Sirius. So Percy's working hard for the man, and Molly has everyone set up a great dinner outside for that night. Everyone too many times. There was plenty of conversation at the dinner table, and it ends with great fruit.
Welcome to podcasting.
I don't know how to podcast. It ends with great food and a prank from good old Fred and George on Percy. Holla.
How already?
I just wanted to let everybody know that starting with this episode, this is the first time that we're live on Discord with our Beau Truckle and Higher patrons. So shout out to, yes.
Why didn't you put this in your weekly profit? Why are you stepping on my turf?
You're done.
How do you know?
Until you were done.
You don't know. I might have white ink on here. You have no idea.
You guys.
I might have a secret message.
White ink.
So I just wanted to say that this is something new that we're offering for 2019 for our patrons. Beau Truckle and Higher get Discord access, and then we're still going to do live YouTube videos for Hippogriff and Higher sporadically. Yes.
As one of our Discord joiners says, Helene Karp said, if you're not a patron, you're not living. So words to live
strong
by.
Words.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it is red.
Tis.
Okay.
Wait, you didn't have any white ink in the doc. You were done?
You don't know.
Oh, okay.
Secrets. Okay. No
All right. So our chapter starts with Harry traveling by some flu powder.
Sorry.
No. I'm not even to the end of my sentence. And your hand is already up.
All I think about when I think of flu powder from a very Potter musical.
Oh.
And they like flit around.
Yeah.
flu powder.
All right, go on. Sorry. I won't talk for the rest of the episode.
You're amazing.
I know I am. Thanks.
It's me. Okay. So he's keeping his elbows tucked in because of the last time. And he bumped into things when he traveled by flu powder last time. Would any of you want to travel by flu powder?
No. It sounds nauseating.
It sounds terrible.
Sounds like I wouldn't like it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'd bomb everywhere.
So,
it would
yes,
be like all these would. Fireplaces, just all of a sudden there's like puke, puke, puke.
If you threw up on the Hogwarts ride at Universal, you would definitely throw up.
In my defense... That was rough.
Was but, it?
Yes.
Well, they do tell you if you have
Katie
motion
got
sickness.
Motion sick.
She's never gotten motion sick ever.
She has to close her eyes.
Sometimes.
She's just squint. Overly worried about it.
Oh my gosh.
You don't know me.
I know you.
You know my throw up life.
I'm married to her.
But what? Think about if they're like Wizarding families sitting around the fire and all of a sudden vomit comes out. They're like, oh. It's a newbie.
That flu network again.
They're probably used to it.
Continue on. Flu power. Continue. Powder.
This shouldn't be happening
flu
right
powder,
now.
Flu powder, powder, flu powder, powder.
Okay.
Say it 10 times fast.
I don't think I could.
I wouldn't be able to. Can I try really quick?
Please go ahead.
Flu powder, powder, 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 flu powder, powder.
No, I think you got two right.
No, I think she did good.
She didn't do
good.
No.
Whatever. Sarah never thinks that I'm good at anything.
Ew. I'm reading the comments.
Okay.
Damn, I want to vomit.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Harry's vision was blurry and he saw fireplaces flashing before him and he started to feel sick. I feel you, bro. So he closed his eyes and I said, oh, look, I even wrote it. Sounds like me on the Forbidden Journey ride. he felt a slowing down and so he threw his hands out in front of him so he wouldn't fall on his face. And as soon as he gets back, Fred was excitedly asking him, did he eat it?
Duh.
And as we all know, yes, he ate it. And now we know it is called a Tun Tung Toffee.
Say that 10 times
fast. Tun Tung Toffee. Tun Tung Toffee. Oh my gosh. So there is an article on Pottermore. What?
I just don't know if I agree with they went too far.
Okay.
It just don't eat candy that random people drop.
I have words about the Weasleys in my section.
Okay, well, let's just save them.
Get in. Out.
All right.
Oh, no, I'm for them.
Okay.
Oh, okay. You can stay.
Anyways, six times Fred and George's pranks went too far.
They never go too far.
So it says it's all fun and games until someone nearly dies.
Wait, is that literally what it says?
No.
Oh.
Poops. There's a lot of different things in here, but I think we should save them for whenever they pop up in the books.
Sure.
So I'm just going to go right to the one we're talking about.
Tun Tung.
They fed Harry's already abusive family member Tun Tung Toffee. We always enjoyed it when Harry's wizard friends casually wreaked havoc on the Dursleys because it was nothing less than they deserved. However, when the Weasley family destroyed their living room while trying to visit Harry via flu powder, Dudley ended up getting a foot-long tongue after eating Fred and George's carefully dropped sweets. And it says, Harry wheeled around. Dudley was no longer standing behind his parents. He was kneeling beside the coffee table, and he was gagging and spluttering. Excuse me, there's an L there. On a foot-long purple slimy thing that was protruding from his mouth.
I will say the first time I read that, it didn't connect in my head. Like, even after they explained it, I was like, what happened to him?
About that. And it says, this time the boys went too far. Not only did this sort of thing do nothing to help Harry with his terrible home life, but as Mr. Weasley pointed out, it also meant so much that the Dursleys weren't about to soften up towards the wizard kind because of their antics. Not that they would have anyway, admittedly.
What are your feelings about that, Tiffany?
It's not... Okay.
Ooh, glasses off, teacher mode on.
All right. No, listen. Hear me out.
Mm-mm.
No.
On one side of the coin, he is a git. And yes, he deserves it.
Wow. Using British terms. Okay.
However, well, I'm trying to appeal to the masses here. On the other side of the coin, you can't be doing that to people. Because he is a muggle. And what if they would already have been gone? And no one was there to
help him
repair it up. He would be dead.
Yes.
And the Slytherin laughs.
here's my thing.
I'm sweating.
He did not have to eat that.
You'd think he would learn from the last time he ate something that a wizard had around the place.
He got a pigtail. Yeah,
hold on, the cake didn't turn him into having a pigtail.
Hold on. Still. He did not have to drop that.
That's true.
What if it genuinely was an accident?
No,
you don't know.
I mean,
no.
We do know.
We do know. Listen to you. Get out. You and your green.
See, Michelle says rule number one, never take candy from a stranger. Like, why would you eat that?
Because
and he knows
he's
they're
weak
wizards.
Sauce.
I blame Dudley 90% of it.
Well, yeah, he is responsible for his actions, but so's Fred.
I mean, yes, I agree. But I hold more guilt for Dudley. Like, he shouldn't eat it.
Okay.
It's your own fault.
That's
fine.
Get
your tongue cut off. Snippity snap.
I'm going to snip snap your face.
I have a feeling that, like, the candy would have worn off.
I agree.
Hopefully before he choked to death.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think that it would have gotten to the point where, like, he would have choked on it or... Like,
he was choking on it.
Because his mom was pulling his tongue out of his mouth. That's the only reason why.
I think part of it was, like, one, his mom's pulling on it, and two, he's, like, fearful. Yeah. So, like, have you ever had an experience where you're, like, you're so scared you're just making it worse because you're, like, you're freaking out about whatever? That's what's happening. He's doing it to himself.
I kind of feel like majority of the Weasley's products, like, they're joke products and... they're awesome magic because it obviously takes a lot of like time and effort to like create these things. But again, like it's still magic. It's going to wear off. It's not like you're directly casting a charm on somebody.
But we
They're
don't
like
know that.
Ingesting it.
He was a tester for it. He was the test subject for them. So
he was
we don't
a good
know.
Test subject.
Well, I don't know. I think that they
would you have dropped a candy on purpose?
Oh, yeah.
Sarah, we're lightning bolting this. Yes or no? Now.
Ooh. I probably, but like in a very like, oh my God. I like didn't realize
yes.
I dropped it.
Oh, yes.
So the answer
yes.
is yes.
Katie.
Like,
Katie,
more
no,
more accidentally
done.
Than Fred.
No,
does that make any sense?
You're over.
Like
no.
if it happened, it happened, but I wouldn't
oh,
try to stop it.
That's no.
Like cut a hole in my pocket and be like, oh my God. Must
that's
fall
no.
out.
Get out of here. That's a yes, Katie.
No, I wouldn't be able to pull it off
you.
Even if I wanted to.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
See me, no.
See, but like the difference.
But we're not Fred and George.
The difference between Megan and I is yes. Megan would drop like a boatload and be like, here, eat these, where I would be like, legit, do something sneaky.
No, I would do it like how George did it. I would just.
He dropped a whole handful of them and then gathered them up.
That's what I would do.
But I
would leave one behind.
Like Fred did. I would probably legitimately like. Say I had like a bag or something and cut a hole in the bag like just enough that one could possibly slip
okay,
out.
Okay, but here's the
and
thing.
And then if it did, I wouldn't pick it up.
Here's the thing. She still would do it. So we're on the same level here.
But we're not. I'm
yeah,
better
we are.
Than you.
I'm just saying, boom. Boyfriend could have went to the other side.
He does in book 7.
You're a crazy lady. All right. Shall we move on?
Yes.
This was heated. All right. So Fred and George invented this candy and they have been looking for someone to test it out on. Like we just said, it's not a good idea. Everyone who was crowded around the table in the Weasley's kitchen was howling with laughter.
Tiffany.
Such a
naughty,
teacher, such
naughty.
Because you can't say everyone. Molly was not there yet.
Molly would not have laughed. My mom. Well,
we know.
I'm just saying, I think my mom would have laughed.
She
oh, my mom would have been.
She's a Hufflepuff, actually.
My mom would have been angry.
She would have been Woo. Molly. This time at the table, there were two.
Ooh. Katie.
More.
My other ones were great.
More red.
Wait, I didn't hit it.
Wait.
Oh, my.
Redhead.
It's
that
too close to me.
That Harry had never met before. Although he knew immediately who they were. I said, hello, Bill and Charlie.
Hello. Wait, who?
Ed.
We've been waiting for you both.
So, I'm in love with the shape of Charlie. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
You're fine. Charlie Weasley.
Oh,
my gosh.
He's just a dreamboat, but I don't really know what he looks like.
Okay.
Okay.
Shook Harry's hand first, and he had calluses and blisters from working with dragons in Romania. He was built like the twins, shorter and stockier. He had a broad, good-natured face and many freckles, muscly arms, and one had a shiny burn on it.
Yeah, it
Whoa.
Did.
Mm. He just needs some tattoos.
He probably has some.
You don't know.
He's got a dragon down his back.
That'd be so awesome.
That would be pretty great.
But think of, like, total tangent. I think that wizarding tattoos move.
For sure.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, so
yeah.
think of how
Dark
sweet
moves,
that would
doesn't
be.
It? Or is that a movieism?
You know what I'm at? Sure.
I'm not sure either.
But I like it if it is a movieism.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the idea. Like, think if he had like a ooh, and it would breathe fire every once in a while.
Ooh,
like if you'd
like
scratch
the one
it.
At Universal.
Be like, it'd be like Maui.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, welcome.
I like that idea. I wish we had wizarding tattoos.
Agreed.
I could have like a lady on my arm and she'd sing to me.
You know what I really wish I had? Sing me a song. A BB 1.8.
He would talk. We talked about this earlier. They're like, if you could, someone asked us if you could do your animal talk. And they're like, for the cats, for Megan and Katie, Tiffany has a dog. All I have is a badly drawn BB-8 tattoo. And I was like, for sure. He could talk.
He could.
There's a tattoo parlor in Nocturne Alley at Universal.
Mm-hmm.
What are you telling me these
and
things?
And they move.
And they do move. Because
we're going next December.
Like a legitimate one, you can get a tattoo at it?
No.
No.
Oh, then why are you telling me these things?
They do have a real tattoo shop at City Walk.
That's kind of
Yeah, they do. But it's probably really expensive. Probably.
But I've heard they do good work.
I'm yeah, sure but like, they, is it yeah. worth all of that money? Because part of it's probably like, you're got a tattoo at Universal, kind
I
of.
I know.
Thing.
Yeah.
All right, we probably should get back to Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
I'm right here.
Charlie.
Charlie has a little fact file on Pottermore. It says the second eldest.
Does it say Ed? Sorry.
You're going to get choke slammed. Oh my God. Second eldest Weasley sibling and dragon aficionado. House Gryffindor, parents, Arthur and Molly Weasley. What if it said something different? Skills, highly skilled dragon trainer and one-time Gryffindor seeker. Hobbies, studying dragons and Quidditch. Yep.
Well, they do say that Harry's the best Gryffindor seeker since Charlie Weasley.
Mm-hmm. Sucks to suck, Charlie.
I don't know. I'd take him over Harry any day.
There's a couple of quotes. There's one from Hagrid. How's your brother, Charlie? I liked him a lot. Great with animals. I can see that, like, this guy, he just being like a really nice, nice guy.
Charlie?
No, we don't know Charlie that well, but I think he's super nice, especially with what he did with Norbert.
I'm really bummed that they'd cut Charlie and Bill out of this movie.
Yeah.
I was going to be like, they have Bill.
Yeah, Charlie no, but nowhere. I mean, like, in Goblet.
Who do you think would have played Charlie Weasley?
This is a dumb question.
No, but he would have been
Ed Sheeran.
He would have been younger than Rupert Grint.
Oh, really?
Yes, he's only like 25.
Oh,
he's younger than us. No, he might be.
He is. Now. What that's am horrible. I doing with my life?
Podcasting.
Yeah, that's true.
This is importante, Meg.
Yeah. So I wonder who could play him. Who would have been good? You know.
There's also a feature on the page, and it says an ode to Charlie Weasley. It says a much needed homage to the rugged second oldest Weasley sibling. Ah, Charlie Weasley is the first sentence. A man of few words, but while he doesn't occupy many pages throughout the Harry Potter series, that doesn't mean that we don't savor every moment he turns up, and we're pretty sure we know exactly what he's like. Okay, fairly sure. A proud Gryffindor.
Ding.
And I'm slipping through this. He was good with animals. He gave a helping hand to his younger brother and friends with their ridiculous problems, a.k.a. Norberta. He has a presence. It says, please read the following description of Charlie Weasley's arms. Need we say more? So this is from this chapter. So I can go ahead and read that. How are you doing, Harry? Said the nearer of the two, grinning at him and holding out a large hand, which Harry shook, feeling calluses and blisters under his fingers. This had to be Charlie, who worked with dragons in Romania. Charlie was built like the twins, shorter and stockier than Percy and Ron, who were both long and lanky. He had a broad, good-natured face, which was weather-beaten and so freckly that he looked almost tanned. His arms were muscly, and one of them had a large, shiny burn on it. Swoon.
Yeah.
They call that an Irish tan.
Oh, I like it.
When you have so many freckles that almost, like, connect.
That's funny.
Someone said the guy from Outlander, and his name is Sam Heughan, to play Charlie. Cool. And let me tell you... Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
He had the classic Weasley ability to create chaos. So it's just talking about like Charlie and Bill had both grown up and left home, and they had sometimes a silly sense of humor like their brothers. He would fight for what's right. True Gryffindor.
I like the idea of like how you just described him, and then like being a dragon tamer, basically like working with dragons, you know? They mesh well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He had varied and unexpected skills. It says, we know that Charlie was an excellent Quidditch player and had a way with dragons, but do you know what else he was good at? Darning. What does that mean?
Like fixing patching, socks, I bet.
Yeah, like patching up clothes. Yeah.
And there was something very appealing about a man who isn't afraid to pick up a needle and thread.
That is true.
Amen to that.
Charlie, be real and date me, Kate thinks, bye.
Yeah, he sounds like a keeper.
He sounds like a man.
Or a seeker.
You know what I mean? Like a manly man.
A seeker of truth.
He's a man's man.
Okay.
Next up is Bill.
Bill.
He works for Gringotts. He's been head boy, and he was cool.
I'm head boy.
Yes.
Does it say anywhere on his fact file that he turns to the dark side and works?
Oh. I was like, for some
I was
like,
about
what
to be like,
are you talking about?
Have you read these books?
What's the guy's name? Emperor
Hux.
Hux. Yeah.
General, isn't it? He's not emperor.
General Hux. No. Who is
emperor
he like?
Cusco.
No, who's he like behind?
Snoke.
Yeah, Snoke. That's what I'm thinking.
Snoke is dead.
You think Hux is Snoke?
No, Hux works for Snoke.
Yeah, Snoke's dead.
Okay.
Or is he? That's
I don't
a whole
know.
Other podcast.
But yes, he is in those movies.
Fun fact about the guy, and unless you
I
don't know
you were
this.
I thought you were being serious for a second, and I was like, what are you talking about?
So Donald Gleason plays Bill Weasley, and his father, Brendan Gleason, plays Mad-Eye Moody. So if you didn't know that, now you know. Your
Tis
life is better
now.
Tis
in the family.
Alrighty. Yeah. Besides being cool, he was tall with long hair that was tied back into a ponytail. He was wearing an earring that looked like a fang and boots made of dragon skin. Question, what do you think the fang's from? Go.
Probably, maybe his brother gave him a dragon fang. A flang.
I've always thought that. Dragon from Charlie.
Goblin.
Maybe not.
I'm just kidding, that's terrible. I really don't
know. Is Bill a goblin slayer?
So he works with goblins all the time.
Oh my.
Maybe he found one like in a tomb.
Maybe
right?
An ex-girlfriend
Egypt.
Gave him one.
Oh boy.
Whoa.
Okay.
Tiffany doesn't think that.
What if it's a basilisk?
It's giant. Slayering, guys.
He'd probably like do a weightless charm on it, so it's just hanging out.
A Grindylow.
Ooh.
The Grindylow.
The Grindylow.
He does marry the girl who can't get past him.
Silence. All right, Phil. On Pottermore, laid-back eldest Weasley sibling and member of the Order of the Phoenix. It's interesting that Charlie's not a member.
Maybe he
was
just
he's
like,
too busy in Romania
to save the Wizarding World.
Yeah,
maybe he's like my peeps got it.
Maybe full name.
I wonder William. If he'll regret not being there because his brother dies.
Yeah.
Oh, sad.
I didn't even think. I don't know.
Sorry, go on, Tiffany. I apologize for interrupting you.
But as you sip tea,
I'm drinking coffee.
Just an actual sip. All right, William Arthur Weasley, birthday, 29th of November. No year. Why?
Maybe she has plans for him, like McGonagall. Like,
she did God, say. There's got to be a reason why the year's not there.
I will say, she did say in some interview about, like, how many years are in between everyone.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to roughly tell you once I get to it.
Okay. Do you want me to keep going?
He was roughly born in 1970, give or take a year.
Hmm. Why no year?
And then fun fact that the Marauders started Hogwarts the next year.
So he's like 20 years. No, he's like 11 years, 10 years. Hold on.
He's 9 years older than Ron. He'd be 10 years because he was born in 80.
Oh, right. Okay. Because it started in 91.
Correct.
Okay. Got
well,
it.
That's math.
Yeah, so he started the year that
guys, I'm a graphic designer.
If he was born in 1970, he would have started Hogwarts when not Hermione, Ginny. I was trying to think of his sister's name. When she was born, he started Hogwarts. Like literally days later, because her birthday's August 11th. You're welcome for this useless knowledge that never will do anything with like.
I swear to you, Sarah's exchanging brain cells from like real life stuff for Harry Potter timeline stuff.
Facts.
House of Gryffindor, parents
Gryffindor.
Sirius Black and Molly JK
Arthur. Roland.
Oh, that would be Molly. Weird.
Think about that.
No, because he was like
older.
He would have been like 10 years old, 9 years old.
That's gross.
Yeah, so don't.
I said it as a joke.
I like jokes.
Highly skilled curse breaker for Gringotts Wizarding Bank. Very intelligent. Past Hogwarts head boy hobbies, table jousting, and teasing
Random.
Percy.
Teasing Percy.
Oh, well, that's his hobby.
I didn't even blink an eye at that either. Which is funny because Harry thought he would be more like Percy because mm-hmm. of being head boy and whatever.
Oh my gosh. Have you guys ever Googled table jousting? It's little guys and horses. Like little playthings. It's funny, sorry.
Child's plaything. You are a toy.
God, I love that movie.
I don't know what it is, so let's move back to Harry
are
Potter.
Are you kidding?
Oh, what? Door's over there.
Oh, I'm like, you're not allowed to be here.
Okay. So before anything else could happen, there was a pop, and back was Mr. Weasley, and he's mad, y'all. He's mad at Fred for dropping the candy because he knew that A, Dudley is a git, and B, he's on a diet and will eat any and all candy. George was wondering how big his tongue got, and we find out that it's at least 4
This bell.
It's not the bell.
It's the bell.
You say this every time. 4 foot long, or I did a Sarah. 1.2192 meters.
Yeah.
Long before.
See, it ain't so easy, is it?
Bellin' ain't easy. Before the Dursleys would let him shrink it. Everyone began laughing again. And then I didn't bring up my quote. So carry on.
That's what I'm doing right now, because as soon as I saw my part was coming up, I was like, I don't have my book.
Oh my, how?
So long. Hold on. What's
like,
I got it.
Think of like 4 foot long hot dogs. That's a lot. That's a long tongue. That's what I think of when someone says, like, that's, oh my, like, God, their tongue is a foot long.
Foot long.
That's like almost as tall as Danny DeVito.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
Oh my God. Why is he always a unit of measurement?
You just
for
need
us?
11 more inches, I think.
If you need anything to compare things to,
just use Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito. All right. Oh. Mr. Weasley, here we go. It isn't funny, Mr. Weasley shouted. That sort of behavior seriously undermines wizard-muggle relations. I spent half my life campaigning against the mistreatment of muggles and my own sons.
Dun, dun, dun.
Meh. Why did they test out Dudley? Because he's a great bullying git. And he says, just wait until I tell your mother. And then I wrote JK, uh-oh. Because here's Megan's part.
So, of course, Mr. Weasley had absolutely no intention of telling Molly what exactly the boys had done, but that Molly came in right at the perfect moment, heard the tail end of that conversation, and said, tell me what? Mrs. Weasley had just entered the kitchen. She was a short, plump woman with a very kind face, though her eyes were presently narrowed with suspicion. I just, like, again, we got, like, a little recap of, just to remind us what Molly looks like, who she is, all that stuff.
It bothers me that you're bending a brand new book like that.
Sorry.
What?
Says the girl.
Who are you to say anything?
This isn't a new book, though. It's a very old
book. I bought this book specifically to destroy for this podcast.
Oh, gosh.
So she walks in, and Herm and Ginny appear behind her. Harry smiles back at Ginny, and she goes scarlet. So I thought that was cute.
Johansson.
She's still not over it. So Mrs. Weasley forces it out of Mr. Weasley, but
that was her foot.
The trio and Ginny get away just in time. Fred and George try to tag along, but they can't. Okay, poor Fred and George. Can I vent here for a sec now?
No.
Meg is on her soapbox.
Molly, I'm not a fan of you in this book.
Mm.
I'm really not. She bothers me a lot in this book. And at other times as well. But normally, I mean, like, overall, I really do love Mrs. Weasley, but she really makes me upset here. So we have Weasley Wizard Wheezes. Weasley's Wizard Wheezes. Why can Molly, like, not see the potential here? Why does it matter to her so much that the boys work at the ministry? Yes.
Finish, and then I'll talk.
Like, the order forms. Okay. So, well, okay, I'm getting ahead of myself here. But, you know, all of these things that they created, like, okay, necessarily some of the candies and stuff, like, could be potentially dangerous, but also, like, a laugh. And they have ways to, they have ways to undo it. They have ways to undo what they do. But, like, the fake wands, like, trick sweet. Like, what is so awful about that? I don't get why she is so hung up on, like, how awful this is and how, like, oh, my gosh, they didn't get enough OWLs. I'm sorry, but who cares? They have potential. It's not like they didn't get any.
Okay.
I mean, they didn't fail.
After you.
They didn't fail everything. They got less than Percy, which is that really surprising. Look at Percy and then look at Fred and George. They were never going to get as many OWLs as Percy.
So this is what I want to say in this whole thing. I don't think her issue was with them doing that or anything. I think it's more so the fact that realistically, the success rate of opening your own business is not great. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they have potential and all, and I'm sure she knows that they have potential, but she wants them to be successful in their life. And obviously it's wonderful that they do become successful, but I think she's going into this thinking, like, what they're doing, they have a better chance of getting money, like working at the ministry and making a good living and being able to like find wives and have kids, not trying to open up their own business where within the first year they could fail and lose everything. She doesn't want to see that for them. And I could tell you from personal experience, my parents did not want me to go to cosmetology school. Like they took me out and they're like, you're not doing it. You're not doing it. You're not to say there's anything wrong with it. But my parents were like, you're way too smart. You need to go. You get good grades. You can go and do anything else. They did not want me to do it. And I did basically what they did. And I didn't care and did it anyways and finished. And so now I can do hair. But like that's my parents didn't care once I did it. They just were like, you can also do so much more. Like, you know what I mean? So they don't look down on me because I have a cosmetology license, but she just wants the best for her kids and she doesn't want to see them fail, and they could fail hard. Yes, you can succeed hard with that, but she doesn't want to see them fail. That's where I get out of
this. I still have hard feelings about this. This is their dream. And Helene just said this in the patron chat. Like, I understand that you don't want your kids to just, like, go out and fail. But at the same time, like, are you really going to hold them back from following their dream? Like, that is what they want to do. But so why not encourage them to the best of their ability to try? Because you will never know if you can succeed in it if you don't give it a try.
But maybe she wanted them, and I agree, to wait a little bit because they're only 16 at this point in time. So they're still young. Like, go work in the ministry, get some money, and then go into it where you still have, like, I have all of these things to fall back on. I have a career I can go right back into. I have all of these things instead of jumping right into it where the Weasleys themselves don't have that much money. So how much money do Fred and George have? Really, the only reason they're able to do this is because Harry gives them all his winnings at the end of it. So maybe she's thinking, go and work at the ministry, do whatever, get a legitimate real job. I don't know if they need benefits, but like in America you do. So you get all of these things. You have nest egg before you try to do this. Just thinking. Tiffany, go on.
Many thoughts and feelings. If I can remember them all, it'll be a miracle. One, she is the perfectly written mother.
Yes, I would agree.
Two, it is really hard to sit back and watch someone do something when you know that they have immense potential.
Stop looking at me.
Okay. But it really is. It's hard. And here's what I'm thinking. All of this is coming from an absolute place of love. She knows her and Arthur's struggle monetarily.
I think she goes about it the wrong way.
Yes.
I know you're not done. I'm just interjecting.
No, I know. But she wants them to not have to struggle. So wanting them to get all these owls and work for the ministry is her way of ensuring that her children have well-paying jobs and don't have to struggle like they did. You always want better for your kids.
Yeah.
And so it's coming out of a place of love. Now, the way that people give their love and the way that people interpret love can get all completely mixed up. And a lot of the ways people don't show love, how other people need that love shown. And I think that this is a prime example of that. And also, we have to remember that no one is perfect, right, with this. And she is just the real life version of a mom trying to toe the line between letting their children follow their dreams and ensuring that they have decent lives. So I get what you're saying. The delivery sucks, but the meaning is totally out of love.
I also think that maybe with her destroying the candy and like maybe she's thinking like, God forbid. Yes, we obviously know that they're smart guys and everything, but also they're testing this on themselves. But what if they do something where there's some ingredient or something that affects me differently and I buy it off of them, I take it, and something horrible happens and I end up at St. Mungo's or I die or something. I don't know. Could they get in trouble for it?
Oh,
and maybe she's also worried about that. Like maybe she wants to make sure they're like, okay, you spent 2 months trying all these things out or however long they've been doing this. So maybe she really wants them to sit down and work on it and not make it.
They could have really gotten in trouble with the ministry for the Dudley thing.
Yeah.
You know,
but it was really funny.
Oh my God. What was I going to say? Oh, I just read a comment that just popped up that Arthur works for the ministry. So Carrot, yeah, he works for the ministry, but that's why I think that she wants better than that.
Well, and I think for him,
like,
and
better you, in you the see, ministry than that. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, you see later on in this book specific. Well, this and the next
they
one.
They say when, Arthur could have gotten promotion.
Yes, but I
he's
think
doing
because
what he loves. That's his dream. So, she struggles well, with that. No, but she struggles with that too.
But I think because he's so like pro, not pro muggle, but essentially like they don't want. He's almost would rile the boat where he'd be like, well, with laws and everything, because you see in the next one where Fudge is like totally against Dumbledore and anybody that's with Dumbledore and thinks that like muggles aren't horrible people. And he, you know, Arthur just wants to like love muggles and all these things and understand how they work. And a lot of wizards don't care and they don't want to know.
Yeah.
And I think that his love for the muggles and his love for Dumbledore has held him back in the ministry. But he's fine doing that. You know what I mean? He brings enough gold home for his
just
family.
Enough, yeah. But I will say, Megan, that I do have problems with Molly.
I just think that, like, specifically...
Well, not,
with
no,
this
no, not in this book. Next
specifically... In this book.
Well, I can't remember. It's been years since I've...
I do a couple times throughout the series.
I have a problem with her in the Fleur situation. Like,
I don't like her and Hermione in this
book. Awful.
Yeah.
Yes, but that, yeah, that's...
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
How she treats Fleur.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not acceptable.
And how she treats Hermione at the
I
end
was,
of this
like,
book.
I was, like,
reading... But here's the thing. A well-written mother role.
Yes, because it shows you...
It's real.
People, I think, and I'm not saying anything wrong against moms. Obviously,
yeah, Tiffany,
people.
This is a you. I'm kidding.
But it shows
you're
you
ready.
That nobody's
going to talk to Alana.
Nobody's perfect, and including moms. Yes, they do wonderful, wonderful, wonderful things, but nobody's perfect. And as much as everyone loves Molly and she does all these great things, she's also showing you... She's not always making the best decisions because she's downright nasty, in my opinion, to Hermione in the end of this book. All because of stuff she reads in the paper that's not true.
Right.
Right.
We can wrap this part of the discussion up with Monica Geller's quote, "I'm going to love you so much that no woman is ever going to be good enough for you."
Yeah. Yeah.
She says that. Okay.
Yeah, basically, like, the thing that really upsets me here is that she forces them to destroy everything that they've worked on. And, like, I know that, like, she might think it's just a hobby or she might think it's not worth it. But, like, I think that that is the biggest, I think that's the biggest misstep that quite a few parents make. I'm not a parent yet, so, like, I can't say this. I don't know, but I think that's one of the biggest things that,
you can
that
say
parents
it as a kid,
right? Because I mean, I went through it sometimes, and not, I mean, like, my parents are great, but at the same time, like, you sometimes parents just don't understand, and like, I know that they don't want to pretend, like,
funny?
Like,
just like being a teenager,
I know, don't understand.
No, I know, like, I feel like I sound like a teenager right now, but like, sometimes parents genuinely don't, like, they genuinely don't understand, and like, they get offended whenever kids say that to them, but like, it's true. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like, you grew up in a different time than I did, or you had different hopes and dreams than I did, or you want me to do things that you wish you would have done.
Or different opportunities. You know?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So like, the fact that they are clearly, and I think it is obvious beyond obvious that they are passionate about this, that she forces them to destroy everything that they've made. She takes these order forms, which, do you think that they literally had to handwrite every single copy at this point? Like,
no, magic. They probably wrote
they
one and copied it.
But they can't. They're not 17. Right. So, like, I'm picturing them literally writing out all of these order forms, and then she takes them all and just destroys them. And I just think that that's really sad.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It just really upsets me that she won't even... And again, you said they're only 16, but, like, yeah, they are only 16, so why can't they have this hobby? This is a hobby that they love doing. That would be like my parents telling me that they don't think that I can sing, so I can't be in the choir that I want to be in anymore.
Yeah, but
you know, like, it kind of feels like the same thing as at that age, at 16, I was in a choir. I'm not the best singer, but I'm not a horrible singer. But like, that would be like my parents coming and saying,
I'm a fantastic singer.
Well,
that would be like my parents being like, you're never going to go anywhere with singing. I want you to quit the Singing Angels. And it'd be like, but I love doing it. Why do I have to quit it? I'm 16 right now.
In defense of that in itself, singing is not as dangerous as testing, you know, those
okay,
things out
but
and giving them to people.
It's still the same concept.
But
you
I
could,
wonder,
you
I
could
bet
get
you.
Laryngitis.
Yeah.
I bet you that she has a lot of regrets. And I think that she probably also once Fred perishes has a lot of regrets because that's maybe sad. She's like, you know, they could have done it sooner or he could have lived his, I mean, I think they lived their his life to the fullest, but
Yeah.
We don't know. I mean, she might have done it, because I know there's times where, like, my mom and I have gotten in, like, huge fights, and afterwards, she, like, we'll talk about it now, and she's like, we'll take a step back and be like, I probably shouldn't have done that. Like, we both do that, you know?
Right.
I think everyone here will agree with what Tam said in the chat. She said, it's a fine line, isn't it? Letting your babies dream and fly, but also protecting them from potential harm.
Mm-hmm. I think that it's also really important, though, for parents to understand that failure to a point can be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that my perfect example in comparison to this is Katie and I moving to Florida. We moved down to Florida because it was a dream of ours to live in Florida. We wanted to live by Disney World. We wanted to go to Disney every day. Like, we wanted to live that dream. My parents had a feeling it wasn't a good idea. They told me a couple times that we probably shouldn't do it, but they let me go. And let me tell you the life lessons that I learned from that experience. I never would have learned them any other way had we not done that. Yes, I did fail.
I don't think you failed.
What do you mean?
No, you were there almost a full year. I don't think that's a failure.
Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Tiffin.
Financially, we failed.
We just
you weren't homeless.
Was it poor management?
It was horrible management.
Yeah, you lived above your means.
We lived at Disney World.
Did you not hear about the pillow pets?
Save it.
Listen, but I mean, like, yeah, we failed financially. We failed. We weren't able to continue living there. Is it something we've thought about trying again? Yeah, but we look back on that first situation and then, like, where we want to be in our future, and we're like, it's probably not the best idea to try that again. So, and I kind of feel like that is the twins with the joke shop, you know? Like, they want to do this. They could be super successful. They could super fail. But at the same time, if this is really something that they want and dream, and again, they're 16, but in the Wizarding World at 17, you're an adult. So really, they're not that far off from, like, needing to know what they want to do. You know what I mean? So I've said it a million times over the past, I don't know, 15 minutes. I just think that she handled it the wrong way. And I wish that she would have been a little bit more open to hearing her son's ideas and dreams.
Hindsight is 2020.
I agree. I think there should have been a conversation. Like, yeah. I know with me and, like, with my schooling and everything, like, that's what I had to do. I had to, like, sit down. Like, there were times where my mom was like, well, I just thought you were kidding when you were talking about that. I'm like, no, I wasn't. Obviously, like, so when I decided I wanted to go to hair school, I went to this one school and, like, kind of toured it and talked to some of the students. And then, like, my dad literally took me to lunch and he was like, I don't want you to do it. Like, I was thinking about going to nursing school. They're like, you should do that. You'd be so good. And, like, with nursing, you have a great job. You have great benefits, especially if you work for the Cleveland Clinic, you know, job security, all this stuff. And not even just the Cleveland Clinic, but living in Northeast Ohio, you've got multitude of hospitals. And
it is so really, like, both my parents are like, for this area,
I don't want you to do it, blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, it was something that I really, really wanted to do. And granted, I don't really do hair at all anymore, but I, like, decided one day, like, woke up and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go. I called them up. I'm like, I'm going to enroll. So I went down, I enrolled, and I came home that night and I was like, by the way, I enrolled in hair school today. My parents were like, what? I'm like, I started on this day. And, like, my parents were, like, super proud and everything. But, like, I think it was something, like, my mom always was saying, like, I thought, like, you never were serious. Because I, like, throw ideas all the time. Like, in the past year, I've talked about being a multitude of different things. So that's just one thing, like, she should have had a conversation with her sons. But I can't tell her because she's not real. So.
And they do get to do their dream. So, yeah. Like, it turns out okay. But it just makes me sad for them at this moment.
Spoiler alert.
Right.
They have a joke shop in Diagon Alley. How much was that on Molly?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. And my section is really long today. So, sorry, guys. That was the first little bullet point. I just wanted, like, to ask a quick little lightning round question, lightning bolt question. Can any of you guys actually see Fred and George ever working at the ministry?
No way.
No. It's kind of like, can you picture Newt working at a ministry? No, oh, that was literally his greatest fear, as we know. No way.
No. So
professional laugh people.
Maybe they could work in, like, the games and sports section, like Ludo.
Like Ludo Bagman, I guess. Maybe? Like if they had to, yeah.
What if there's like a section? What if there's a section at St. Mungo's where like super depressed people go and like they just do stand up all day or something, you know?
Yep. They would be great at that.
I hope there's not a section with super depressed people, because that in and of itself is sad. And we love you, super depressed people.
Well, even if they just go to Mungo's to cheer people up.
Think of like the little kids that are like sick or something. Oh,
or Gilderoy Lockhart.
Poor Gilderoy.
Oh, God. Can you see Fred and George entertaining Gilderoy? My God.
Think of Neville's parents.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh.
I hope that
brought this down.
All right. Well, let's move on to Percy.
We just went further down.
So he appears because the trio and Ginny are, quote, thundering up the stairs and making too much noise. And then here's my little soapbox on Percy. I said, here's the thing, Percy. Don't you think you waste more time blabbering on about how people are too noisy than if you were to just ignore it and keep working? Just a thought. Just keep writing about your cauldron bottoms.
Listen, that's a serious thing.
Oh, I know.
Fat cauldron bottoms.
Speaking of cauldron bottoms, we find out
that... That's amazing.
I'm really trying to push through here. Okay. We find out that he works for the Department of International Magical Cooperation. So I asked the question, what is that department really about?
Boring stuff.
So they deal with international relations with other countries. Who would have thought, guys? So they're located on level 5 of the Ministry of Magic. They work with magical governments of other countries. So I would assume they work with MACUSA, and they work with the ministry in France. And obviously we know Durmstrang. They work with Durmstrang, and they work with Beauxbatons, which we'll find out a little bit later.
Beauxbatons.
I always say Beauxbatons.
She's making fun of me.
We were talking about it earlier today.
Well, we hear in the next couple of chapters that they're talking with 5 continents. 5 continents. What is wrong with me?
Well, where do you want to start?
But I just think that's cool. 5 out of 7 continents.
Really wish I had that Swish and Flick tumbler.
You're getting one, okay? So they also create regulations for things that are imported into the country. Example... good old cauldron bottom thickness.
Fat cauldron bottoms to make the rocket world go round.
And they work with the Department of Magical Games and Sports on the top secret Triwizard Tournament.
What's that?
I don't know.
We'll find out.
I haven't got it yet. Where's my chapstick?
It also houses the International Confederation of Wizards, the British seats. It houses the International Magical Office of Law, the International Magical Trading Standards Body, and this department was established by Artemisia Lufkin in 1800.
Lufkin.
So. Oh, I just love kin.
So we get into Ron's room, and this is not the first time Harry's been there. So he talks about how it looks pretty much exactly the same. The Chudley Cannons poster is still hanging on the wall. And there was a fish tank on the windowsill that had held frog spawn, but now held a large frog.
Cool. Growth.
Growth.
I like the circle of life.
Also.
No. They went, yeah.
You used to be spawn.
I cannot.
But you're a frog now.
Megan's gonna kill us.
Like I was gonna kill you in my section.
Right. Yeah, this is just how this episode is gonna
be. Yeah, it's the worst.
I'm sweating.
We also see Pig, aka Pigwidgeon. And I thought that I would do a little etymology on his name. So Pigwidgeon means small or petty.
Oh.
And also petty can owl. It combines pig with widgeon, which are two species of duck found in North America and Europe, or pigeon. I thought that was weird. Another name for the rock dove. Oh my God, pigeons are a dove?
Are you a rock dove?
Pigeons are a type of dove?
That's awful.
My mind is blown. Jazz
dove. You're rats with wings.
You're rats with wings.
I thought my dog was here, but he's not.
Okay, so the next they discuss how Percy is literally obsessed with his job. There is such a thing as being too involved with your work, and he's the perfect example, in my opinion. I get that he loves it, but it eventually makes him turn against his parents and family, and that just sucks.
You gotta find the balance.
Exactly. Like, life is more important than your job. I'm just saying.
I thought you were gonna say life is more important than your family. I was going, ooh!
No, than your job.
He's, as Megan Poehler points out in the chat, too obsessed with bottoms.
Ron is about to ask about Sirius, but then remembers Ginny is there and decides to hold off since she has no clue of his innocence. And then they head back downstairs to help Mrs. Weasley prepare dinner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Guys, we need to take a little pause here for a second and appreciate. Oh. Why are you giving me this look?
I don't know. I just don't know where you're going with this.
This right here. Oh.
I am literally like, what does ATS stand for?
Wait, what?
We have an ad spot.
We have an ad spot.
I'm like crying and laughing so hard because I'm like, ATS? I'm like, who wrote that?
It stands for Attention, Dear Swishers. This is an ad for you.
I really like that.
Yeah, good one, Katie.
All right. I want a Jolly Rancher, but I don't want to chew it.
You can't chew it while I'm reading this because this is exciting.
Jolly Rancher did not sponsor us. Tiffany really just wants a Jolly Rancher.
But attention, dear Swishers. Adventure is out there.
Adventure is out there.
Why settle for ordinary chain store coffee when you can have an adventure in every cup with Expedition Roasters? Artisanal roasters of pop culture coffees. Now you can experience a little theme park magic every day at your home. Each theme bag features custom artwork by great artists that make it perfect for displaying in your kitchen or office.
Guest artist.
Oh. By guest artists. Sorry, Expedition Roasters. Try one of our premium wizarding roasts like Booksmart Blueberry, Charming Chocolate Cherry, Cunning Caramel Crunch, or Big Hearted Butterscotch. Mm. We've tried them all and they're really good.
Mm-hmm. They are.
All our coffees are certified gluten and allergen free. So start your coffee adventure today at expeditionroasters.com and use coupon code SWISHFLICK15 to save 15% off your first purchase. Brew your happy place.
Dude.
Delish.
It's so good.
I don't remember which one is my favorite. It's either Slytherin. The Slytherin or the
I believe you Hufflepuff. Said that the Hufflepuff was your favorite. They're and the so Slytherin. Good. The Hufflepuff was Sarah's favorite. Slytherin.
I still have that here.
Was
do you? I do.
You should have made a cup. A whole
Tiffany's
pot.
Favorite.
I didn't know if you
were. My favorite is the Ravenclaw one.
I am between the Slytherin and the Hufflepuff.
Yeah.
Okay. They're so good.
The Gryffindor one is my
I'll
second.
Make it tomorrow morning.
Okay.
The deal. Gryffindor is my second place. A lot of these gals didn't care for that one, but I did.
I'm just not a fan of chocolate in my coffee. Like, I'm not a big mocha fan. Yeah, I mean, fan, like, you know?
You have to know if you like flavored coffees or not.
I accidentally
and they do offer.
No, we put creamer in ours and we shouldn't have.
They do offer plain coffee as well. They have, like, dark roasts and that kind of stuff.
So their dark roast is called Dark Side. They have one that's, like, Main Street Columbia, which I think is called Main Street because of Disney. And then they have Route 66, which I believe is just another plain coffee. But I'm going to buy myself the
they
dark
also have
side.
The, I was going to say, they have Star Wars
because I like
ones.
A dark roast, so we can try that.
Here's the thing. We and need to you start can buy reading these like Bill Burr reads his ads. Expedition Roasters. They're roasters. Oh, a coffee for your cup. Expedition Roasters. Roasters.
When you need a little help waking up.
Pick me up.
Ooh, that was good too.
All right.
You got your book, Smart Blueberry? You're supposed to sing your Charming Chocolate Cherry, your Cunning Caramel Crunch, or your big
hearted Butterscotch.
Butterscotch!
Butterscotch.
Oh,
all right.
Gosh.
Shout out to Bill Burr. You could also sponsor us.
So they also have like merch. I almost said like not sponsored, but I guess it is. But I want to get, they have got like coffee spoons. Scoops. So like scoops, which is someone that. There's people at this table that can attest to me trying to make my own French press coffee.
Oh. Rocket fuel.
It would have been like you could use it to seal like your cracks in your driveway. It was so
oh my
thick.
God, it was so bad.
So like then you know I would know how many scoops to put in a French press.
What's a scoop? What's a scoop?
And also, that was the scoop on Expedition
a scoop
Road.
Because I'm a millennial. The one that I have in my cart right now is rose gold, so I'm very excited.
Rose gold what?
It's a gold coffee
rose
spoon.
Rose gold
like,
coffee spoon.
Scoop.
Tiffany, it's necessary.
Your face is necessary.
You use a measuring cup. It'd be like the same thing.
Your face is a measuring cup. I don't know. Okay. It's yellow.
What's necessary is me still talking. So ooh, here comes my section.
Okay. Okay, right. Kind-hearted Hufflepuff. I was going to call you Butterscotch.
Butterscotch. You can call me Butterscotch.
Hey, Butterscotch.
All right. We're not here for that today. We're here to big do the hearted. Podcast. I hope that's not a medical condition because that's sad.
That's true.
Sarah, you're such a Debbie.
Takisoba syndrome is like that. Your heart balloons. That's what my mom had. That's the heart attack my mom had.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh.
All right, let's eat outside with Molly and her children.
Yeah.
Right.
So the trio head downstairs. Back downstairs to help Mrs. Weasley with dinner. As Hermione suggested, it's probably not the best idea though, because Mrs. Weasley's in a bit of a bad mood.
Yeah. Moody. She put me in a bad mood.
She gosh. Puts the moody in, man.
It wasn't funny.
It was. Yes, it laughed. Was.
So she's in such a temper, she tries to peel the potatoes that are in the sink with magic. She points her wand a little too hard at them, and they shoot out of their skins and ricochet off the walls and ceilings. Jeez. And I like how this shows that even a practiced witch or wizard can still, like, not have full control over the magic. Like, your emotion is still very much a part of how you perform your magic. I like that.
And how?
So she starts ranting about Fred and George. Those two, I don't know what's going to happen to them. I really don't. No ambition unless you count making as much trouble as they possibly can. Cue slamming a large copper saucepan down on the table. Also, this is awesome. She puts her wand inside the pot and starts stirring it, and sauce comes pouring out as she stirs. Like, my question, do you have to have, like, all the ingredients out on the table, and then if you use magic, it'll, like, when they come out the wand?
I think so.
Because you can't magic food.
Right. But, like, is that how it works?
Or I wonder, like, if it's just in the vicinity. Like, if she knows it's in her
fridge or something.
Do they have fridges?
I don't know. Do they just El Frizio?
Oh.
I don't know. Oh, I made that Spanish.
But, like, I don't know.
Why did you go Spanish?
I don't really know.
It could be, like, you know, instead of, like, my heart, where, like, or there's Latin, an icebox, right? Where my heart used to be. Oh. There's an icebox where my food used to be.
Oh,
my
God.
I can't handle
any of us right now.
Any of it.
So she continues, it's not as though they haven't got brains, but they're wasting them. And unless they pull themselves together soon, they'll be in real trouble. I've had more owls from Hogwarts about them than the rest put together. If they carry on the way they're going, they'll end up in front of the improper use of magic office.
Mm-hmm.
Then she jabs her wand at the cutlery drawer and knives shoot out, and Ron and Harry have to duck as they fly across the kitchen. I don't know where we went wrong with them. It's been the same for years. One thing after another, and they won't listen to, oh, not again. Molly is all about shoddy capitals, and I love it. From book one on. Whoa, I just hit my microphone. But she grabbed one of their fake wands, and yeah, she just about loses it. So Ron's like, let's get out of here, and they leave to go outside. And Crookshanks is chasing garden gnomes. I have to mention that because it's super cute. And Bill and Charlie are, what do they call it? Table jousting outside.
No, I don't think that's... Oh, maybe that is what they meant when they say table jousting. On.
I thought they were jousting thing, with the tables up in the air is what I always envisioned.
Oh, no, I for sure think that. But I thought when they said table jousting, I thought that's an actual thing.
Your face. Wish you could see these hand motions.
So they're trying to... They're each levitating a table up in the air, and they're trying to knock each other's out of the air. And Bill wins when he knocks one of Charlie's table legs off. I almost said Charlie's legs off. That would have been really sad. Percy's not happy, as usual. Keep it down. Cauldron bottoms are coming on very badly. Don't you know?
Very badly.
But by 7 o'clock, the two tables are so full of food. Joe describes them as groaning under the dishes.
I love it.
That could be like a funny book, like cookbook for... Lord of the Rings, the two tables instead of the two towers.
Oh, I love it.
You're welcome. You're welcome, anyone that loves Tolkien and, you know, Lord of the Rings.
All you uppers.
And Harry literally describes this in his head as we're reading it as paradise because he's been living off stale cake all summer. Gosh, poor kid.
Dude, can you? Oh, no.
No.
Hard.
It would make me so nauseous.
Hard no.
Yeah, when I read that he was, like, still eating it, I was like, what? Why?
Especially Katie's like, I wouldn't eat it if it was an hour after it came out of the thing. Oh my
God. So Percy's talking to Mr. Weasley about his report on cauldron bottoms at the table. And now he would he's having it done earlier because then he'll impress Mr. Crouch and blah, blah, blah. And he mentions that they're not getting any support from Ludo Bagman. And Mr. Weasley's like, oh, I like Ludo. He's the one that gave us tickets for the cup. And we get a little bit of the insider scoop on Bertha Jorkins. She's been missing a month now, and Bagman has not done anything about it. He just keeps blowing it off.
And that's a fair point, though.
What?
He keeps blowing it off.
Mm-hmm. He just keeps saying, like, oh, I bet she meant to go here and ended up over here. She'll show up eventually. Mm-hmm. So Percy ends heaving this big, impressive sigh and says, we've got quite enough on our plates at the Department of International Magical Cooperation without trying to find members of other departments, too. As you know, we've got another big event organized right after the cup. And he clears his throat and looks down at the trio. You know the one I'm talking about, Father. The top secret one.
This You're annoying. Be him. You know. The top secret one.
Come on, pay attention to me.
That reminds me of Family Guy with the gentlemen's club, and they're all reading behind their newspapers. They're like, each one gets louder until they're like,
yes.
No one else.
Megan, did you have something? Did you have something to add?
I hate that he like is all proper and says, you know which one I'm talking about, Father.
Father.
Call him Dad.
You know what I don't like? Like, what if he was like, Arthur, you know this? Like, that's your dad. Don't do that.
My cousin calls my aunt Donna, and I'm like, why do you call your mom Donna?
It drives me crazy. It also drives me crazy when my cousins call, like, their own aunts. Like, they'll call, like, my Aunt Kelly, Kelly. That's your Aunt Kelly. I said to her the one day, because she's the one, like, I talked to the most, and I was like, does it ever bother you when people call you just, like, one of your nieces and nephews just call you Kelly? She's like, yeah, it does. Because, like, I know, like, how much, like, I've always wanted to be an aunt. So if Alana gets to an age and she calls me Sarah, I won't answer her. I hope she's listening.
Call me Aunt Sarah.
She'll answer. My aunts actually, they were like, you don't have to call me aunt anymore. Just call
not
me
one of them has ever said that to like my cousins. Okay, they just
I'm not
like,
talking you ever, about your aunts.
Would you ever like call mine. Your mom by her first name, though?
I have when she's not listening.
Sometimes,
to me.
Yeah, I do that.
Yeah, when she's not listening, I'll be like, Susan.
So my mom's name's Wendy, and my dad, when we were younger, I remember he would like come in from like outside, and he'd be like, "Oh, Wendolyn." So I remember I would like yell that, and she'd be like, "What?"
Sometimes my mom does like weird things, like, "All right, Cheryl." Okay,
I've never called my mom or dad anything but mom or dad.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you ever called my mom? Do you call my mom Sue ever?
I call her Sue to your dad, but I call her mom to her face.
Yeah.
I interchange.
And behind her back.
I interchange your parents.
I call her Sue behind her back.
All right.
Good conversation.
So.
Glad.
Basically, Percy is being a git. So he's trying to get them to guess what the top secret thing is, but Ron like rolls his eye and doesn't take the bait. He's like, whatever, dude. I wonder if he thinks that, like, he's kidding.
Right.
I don't know. So, we hear Mrs. Weasley arguing with Bill about his appearance, which just makes me laugh, because this is such a mom thing, especially mine specifically. So, she's not a fan of his new fang earring.
Which we don't know where
it's from. I say new fangled earring.
I'm going to say it's fing, fang, franging, earring. She doesn't like it. Really, Bill, what do they say at the bank? This is such a thing my mother would say to me, legitimately. Like, I got an industrial pierce in my ear, and she was...
I don't remember that.
That's when I got this tattoo. Also wasn't a fan of the tattoo. You can't have that at work. You'll have to wear sleeves. I'm like, I wear sleeves every day anyways. Like, oh it God. Doesn't... Whatever.
I need a new tattoo.
So, his hair is getting silly, and Molly is just itching to cut his hair, which leads me to question, because I myself cut hair. How do they cut hair in the Wizarding World? Like, are some people better at it than others? Like, can you just go, like... Whoosh, or do you have to, like... You know, be intricate with your wand work.
I think it's intricate, and I also think that Molly would give him a bowl cut.
Accurate.
Well, and then my question is like, so you know how like similar you a lot of times you'll go in to get your hair done and you take a picture of like a celebrity or a picture that you really like. One, if you do that, just have a good conversation with your stylist about it. Make sure you're on the same page. But so
hair in this episode.
What if you go in to like your wizard, like can they make the exact copy just by like
yes,
like Replicato.
That's
and
interesting,
I think it's
too.
An art form. I think it's completely like it's probably like a super big deal. Because look at Lucius Malfoy's hair. He is meticulous. I guarantee that he, it's like a big deal.
I think Dobby shampooed his hair.
No, he wouldn't let him touch his tresses. So here's my question. Didn't if we're saying that hair cutting is intricate and like something you need to master and all of that stuff, do you think that James's family would have been good at, because didn't they make the sleek easy hair potion? Do you think that they might have been like hairdressers, or maybe that's why they're not also in the Sacred 28?
Then why does his hair always stick up?
Well, maybe they like, maybe
the Potter line needs it.
True.
But just things I think sometimes. One duh. But so Bill
things
isn't
I think.
Bill is not worried about his appearance, and his work isn't either. They just care if he does his job well. And besides, Ginny's like, I like his hair. Also, Bill's hair isn't as long as Dumbledore's, so there's that, which is, I think, funny that they ended up. So next up, Fred, George, and Charlie are talking World Cup. So Charlie is for Ireland. Fred points out that Bulgaria has Viktor Krum.
Krum. Krum. Krum. Krum. Krum. Krum.
So Bulgaria has one decent player, and Ireland has seven. There you go. That was
you.
A good bell. So Inglis. England almost got through, but they went down to Transylvania. And how embarrassing is this? They lost. The points were 390-10.
Oh,
wasn't that just like who just played Notre Dame and whoever else in Notre Dame got like three?
Oh, yeah.
It was not good.
That's harsh.
And then Wales lost to Uganda. And then Scotland was slaughtered by Luxembourg. So I thought it was really cool that you get to hear like about all these other countries in the mix. So we know that there's a school in most of these places or like near them. So I wanted to like talk briefly on that. So we know that Beauxbatons, or how do you call it?
Beauxbatons.
They, I believe, also go, like people in Luxembourg can go there as well. There is Durmstrang, which is, we don't really know specifically where that is. It's a little hidden. There's also, I am going to butcher this, but it's Ugado, which is in Uganda. So
ooh,
like I think it's
Wagadu. Cool.
Wagadu. Wagadu. Someone, see, they knew it. But like we'll post a link because there's a whole article about different wizarding schools on the internet, which I thought was really cool. Not on the internet, but Pottermore. And so then there's basically like a mini recap. We know that Harry is the seeker on the Gryffindor Quidditch team, and we know that he's really good at it. He also is great on a broom. Fun facts. So then as the evening wears on, Mr. Weasley lights some candles, and then they have homemade strawberry ice cream. And so at
I
the
want end, this.
What, homemade strawberry ice cream? I'm not
the
a fan.
Whole meal.
Yeah, I want everything but the ice cream.
Is there Yorkshire pudding?
I don't know.
Want it.
So Harry was feeling extremely well-fed and at peace with the world as he was watched several gnomes sprinting through the rose bushes, laughing madly and closely pursued by Crookshanks, which I think is like a
so
cute, you know, it's a good end of the night.
This kid deserves some peace.
Yeah.
You know?
So Ron finally asks Harry about Sirius, because he sees that his family really isn't paying attention to them. So he's about to be like on the verge of telling Ron and Hermione all about his scar hurting and the dream, but he didn't want them to worry because he felt so much better in that moment. But he did tell them that he told Sirius that he was staying with the Weasleys for the rest of the holiday and that like the times that he did hear from Sirius that he seemed good. So then Mrs. Weasley checked the time. She sends them all to bed because the underage kids needed to be up crazy early to leave to go to get to the cup. And then while they're away that she would get their school stuff. And then I said, like, who knows, like, how long they'd be gone, right? Because, like, they said the last one lasted for five days. So my question is, what would have happened if they had to, like, go back to school, like, while the match was still going on?
Yeah, like, would you be allowed to stay?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Like, think about how mad you would be if you had been there,
so
like,
upset.
For, like, 3 weeks, and they're like, no, Hogwarts days tomorrow. Like, bye.
Hogwarts Day. Oh,
like,
man. Yeah, that would suck.
So then Harry hopes that it goes as long. Yes.
I was going to say also, like, how do you request off for work for this?
I wonder if, like, they just let people go.
They probably do.
It's
like,
such
I know,
a big thing in the wizarding world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I know, not that this is any way similar, but, like, in Northeast Ohio, St. Patrick's Day is, like, a huge thing where we have one of the biggest parades in the country. And when we were kids, I went to Catholic grade school. in 1 year they didn't give us St. Patrick's Day off, and my dad was like hemming and hawing because we always went every year just to go down and see the parade. And 1 year they had school, and he was like, I don't know. They couldn't make a decision if we were going to go to school or not, like, the next day. And so the next morning he's like, we're just going to go to the parade. We're not going to school. And, like, they never did that again because, like, the kid, I showed up the next day at school. He's like, there was, like, five people in class because everyone went to the parade. But anyways, so Harry hopes that it goes as long as it did the last time, but Percy doesn't want to think of what his office and job will be like if he's gone for too long because he's so important.
Cauldron bottoms.
And I'm going to read a section from the book because I think it's funny. And it says, I quote, "I shudder to think what the state of my in-tray would be if I was away from work for 5 days. Yeah, someone might slip dung, dragon dung in it again, eh, Perse?" said Fred. "That was a sample of fertilizer from Norway," said Percy, going very red in the face. "It was nothing personal." And then Fred says, "It was," he whispered to Harry as they got it from the table. "We sent it."
That's so terrible.
Brothers will be brothers.
Oh, boy.
Gosh. And that's the end of this chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, portkey to the World Cup.
I wouldn't want to take one of those either, but we'll save that for next time.
A portkey?
Yeah.
If I had to, I would.
I mean, I feel like if we had to take any of these modes of transportation, we would, but we wouldn't be happy about it. We would suffer.
But you're not going to be happy about it.
No.
Any lightning bolt rounds? That includes anyone from our chat, if you can think of one. I guess I feel like we asked a few.
Yeah, we asked some during the
patrons. I'll ask you guys a question.
Yes.
What would your perfect meal made by Molly Weasley be?
Oh, man.
I would want breakfast.
Why is that funny?
Because I meant like dinner.
Oh.
Like, what do you want this dinner to be?
Oh, well, I have an answer for breakfast.
Well, that's not the question.
No, you just said a meal.
I meant the meal.
You just said a meal.
Oh, my God. I can't stand you.
I would want scones and clotted cream and lemon curd and sausage and bacon. And that's all I would need.
All homemade?
Homemade.
For dinner, I'd want to try a Weasley roast. You know, like fall apart meat, roast potatoes. Mm. Some yummy veggie on the side. Some homemade bread.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah.
If I couldn't have breakfast, I would want Yorkshire pudding in a roast.
Ooh, yep. I really want to try also one of those mince pies that you see Ron eating.
I don't think I'd like that.
But I want it to be like...
Isn't mince
filled with
like
fruit?
Raisin and nut?
Yeah, I don't like raisins.
I just want to try it.
I would probably like that.
Yeah, we just want roast. Actually, give me all the food. Yep, I just am not a fan of strawberry ice cream, so. But I probably would still eat it.
She probably makes it really delicious. You know there's some real strawberries in there from the garden out back?
Sure.
We have some questions from Discord.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Vincius says, this is back when we were talking about hair. Why is there baldness in the Wizarding World?
Maybe they like that look. Some people like being bald.
I think that's the same. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say some men are very attractive bald.
I think that's kind of the same as like, why do wizards have glasses?
Yeah. I don't know why like they can fix some afflictions and they can't fix others. Maybe they just choose not to.
Maybe it's really touchy magic. Like you
maybe
can really
it's
screw
difficult.
It up. You
know?
Yeah. Like maybe it's a different magic of like cutting hair than regrowing hair.
Yeah.
What if you just turned
or like fixing
it?
Your eyes? Because like, can you imagine?
Maybe that's what
happened. Yeah, if you like messed up your eyes. That would be awful. Ooh,
maybe that's what happened to Mad Eye.
Maybe he was trying to fix it.
Didn't he lose it?
Probably. Another question is: what would you joust instead of tables?
People. Well, I guess it is what jousting is.
That's true.
Gnomes.
Gnomes.
Cars would be kind of cool.
Cars would be cool.
I think I would joust the boots that are on the front porch at the Weasleys. Isn't that like a
usually
part of
you're
the
just gonna like throw boots at each other,
magic them in the air.
That could be funny.
Gosh.
Who would you root for in this Quidditch World Cup?
Dude, Irish,
Ireland.
It's my home team, man.
Yeah.
I'll apparently, go that's my home team too, because 23andMe updated my stuff to take British off and just put Irish.
Interesting. But I obviously, with the last name O'Malley, I'm an Irish American.
Who knows what my born last name would have been? maybe I'm.
Are you an O'Gill?
Maybe I'm O'Gill.
Oh my God. Maybe you're Darby's great, great, great grandchild.
Why do you think Arthur protects the twins from Molly?
Because he's a good father.
Oh my God.
Because he does that with all the kids. That's just like how he is.
I think it's because he is more lenient than Molly.
Yeah. Yes.
Where obviously she's the strict authoritarian of the family. I mean, parent-wise.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, you know, at the end of the day, like, I feel like this would be like my parents. Like, at the end of the day, was he really hurt after Arthur fixed him? No. Maybe a little traumatized. So, like, he's like, no harm, no foul.
He definitely deserved to be traumatized.
But he just was probably saving. Maybe, like, he was also saving himself the headache of, like, Molly getting mad and... Because after she yells at the twins, I'm sure she's going to have a long talk with Arthur about it, being like, I can't believe they did this, and blah, blah, blah. And maybe he's just sick of hearing about it.
He's just going to sit there and nod and say, yes, Molly, you're right.
Yes, dear.
Yes, sweetheart.
Mm-hmm. I mean, some people are just natural. They want to keep the peace, you know? Yeah. So he might feel like, I told them off. I told them, you know, it wasn't funny. She doesn't need to be involved.
Yeah.
She's already pretty mad at them already.
Yeah.
She is so going the fire? She's going to be more upset than it's worth, I think, too. And he, like you just said, has already said, "Hey, that wasn't a good thing to do." And they're not going to listen to any more that Molly says anyway, you know.
Yeah.
Ooh, we got another one. What would your ideal
your ideal port key to the World Cup?
A hot man.
Oh my God.
They would just be apparating. I'm kidding. What would be something fun? Maybe like a barf bucket. So, like, in case I get sick. Like, with Jacob in Crimes of Grindelwald, he's got something to get sick into.
A tattered old book.
I want it to be a piece of candy so I could eat it afterwards.
Ooh, a piece of candy.
Ooh, piece of candy. Do you think the Weasleys have a favorite child?
At this point, I think Molly's favorite is Percy, but that will swiftly change.
I think it's Ginny.
I was going to say Ginny because she's the youngest and she's the girl they were waiting for, I think.
But I don't think that they actually have a favorite.
Yeah. I agree.
I think it depends on the day.
Yeah, probably.
Who's acting up the most?
Megan, the most drama. Megan Poehler says Harry's the favorite.
Yeah. True. Yeah.
That's kind of like in my family. Like, Katie's totes the favorite. Anything that Katie wants, Katie gets.
She'll use that, too. She'll be like, Mom, like, we want to go to, I don't know, Panera for dinner. And her mom will be like, oh, I don't know. And then Meg will go, well, Katie wants to. And then her mom's like, okay.
Yeah, seriously. It's ingenious.
I will say that, like, with my mom's mom, my Grandma Hagen, we always used to joke around, like, if my parents got divorced, my grandma would take my dad in first. And my grandma would be like, oh, my gosh. But, like, really, he would cook for her, like, every day. So she would take him in a heartbeat, where my mom, neither one of them would cook. So
that's cute. All right. I like this one. We'll make it the last one?
Yeah.
Okay. If Ohio had a Quidditch team, what would be their mascot?
What's, like, the...
Buckeye.
A cardinal.
Ooh, I like that.
I don't know.
I like that.
Something it wizarding,
would be
though.
An ear of corn.
Something wizarding. Maybe. Like, what could live in
a... Or a deer, you know?
Yeah.
Ooh.
There's a lot of deer here.
It could be defending like deers.
The Patronuses. Nope.
Sure. Or we have a lake, so it could be something that lives in the lake.
The giant squids.
Yeah.
It could be an all-ladies team in the Lady of the Lakes. You're welcome.
Ooh, I like that.
Giving the Hollyhead Harpies a run for their money.
Or something like Eerie.
Yeah.
The Eerie Monsters.
That's our already a team. What would be, like, what's a good... Ooh, I think there's a hole in the pants.
The Great Lakes Grindylows.
Oh.
That's a good one.
Yep.
That's a good one.
The Lake Eerie Loch Ness. I don't know.
What's, like, the Eerie Elephant? I don't know.
The Eerie Arumpants.
Ooh. Yeah,
that's
like
a good
it.
One.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It.
Yeah.
All right. Our fan story.
Sure. All right. So this person, I believe, yes, she enunciated everything. So First off, her name just came up as Jennifer Lawrence, and I was like, whoa, Jennifer Lawrence listens to our podcast.
We have a girl that's Jennifer Lopez, and I call her J-Lo all the time.
Yes, yes. But this is from Jennifer Lawrence Carasulis, which she put out phonetically for me, so thank you very much. So she says, ladies, I'm finally caught up on your podcast, so I thought I would share my Potter story. It's not very profound. I doubt. I was vaguely aware of the Potter books before the first movie came out, but by the time they were super popular, I was at a super religious school and was told it was wrong to read them. I had a moral dilemma, therefore, when I was at my cousin's house for Christmas and they put on the first movie. It was downhill from there for me. I saw that it was not going to harm my soul to read them. I went to the theaters the following year to see Chamber of Secrets and started reading them after that. I didn't devour them. I savored them. Only once Goblet of Fire came out had I read the book prior to the film coming out, and I hated that movie because of how much they left out. And the rest of the films were like that. They left me wanting more from the books. Funny story, my group of friends would dress up for all the releases, but we realized that we were going to be on a fishing trip when the Deathly Hallows book was going to be released, so we drove hours to the nearest Barnes & Noble. We were going to dress up as house elves, but to complete our costumes, we went to a Target, bought chocolate cake mix, and in the restroom smeared the cake mix all over ourselves to properly dirty ourselves.
Oh my gosh, it's hysterical.
Once we got our books, we drove through the night back to our family fishing trip and had one person read out loud. My house,
dang, that's nice.
Right? My house is Hufflepuff. Close second is Slytherin.
Oh, that's woo-hoo! A weird combo.
Mm-hmm. Wand is Elmwood, Dragon Heartstring, 11.5 inches, solid flexibility, and Patronus Siberian Cat.
Oh, I'm jelly.
That's really cool.
That's cool.
Love your podcast, Jennifer. I love it. I love the dedication, and I love that you guys like spent the time reading in the car because nobody could wait, you know?
I have a fun story that kind of correlates with that. So I found out that I was going to be on a Singing Angels trip when Half-Blood Prince came out. And I was really bummed about it because I'd always gone to the midnight releases for, I went to Goblet. No, I went to Order of the Phoenix. So this was the next one. And I was like, I'm not going to miss it. So I had my mom came on the trip too. So I had my mom ask the director if we would be allowed to like take a taxi and go get it at midnight. And then they ended up planning. They correlated with the local Barnes & Noble where we were staying, and we went to the midnight show, the midnight release, and we actually performed, and like all of us got a book.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And you did it.
I did.
You did it.
I told my mom, I was like, I'm just letting you know, like, I don't care what their answer is. You're taking me to go get the book. Like, we're going to get the book at midnight.
Well, thank you, Jennifer, for sharing your story.
Yes, yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
It was certainly profound.
All right, so you can find Swish and Flick Podcast on Facebook and on Twitter and Instagram at Swish Flick Cast. You can subscribe to us on YouTube, and we are also on Patreon for exclusive access to the Felix Files and to join us live on episodes through Discord now. So make sure that you head on over to patreon.com/swishflickcast. You can choose your support level. All the levels get different things, so make sure that you read through them and see what you want.
And there's some updates now that it's a brand new year, so.
And more coming.
Check it out.
So, like, there's currently new things that are going to be coming out on Patreon, and like, we're going to be doing new things like this Discord thing, and we have other things up our sleeves, so pay attention to Patreon for some updates in the coming days mm-hmm. and weeks.
And years.
Also, lastly, you can find everything that I just talked about on our website at swishflickcast.com, along with all of our super cool merchandise. And more of that is going to be coming out as well.
Always. Yeah.
All right. So, plugging our other projects, Katie and I, you can follow us on YouTube at Main Street 9 3/4.
What's it called?
And we are putting out our trip vlogs. I'm trying to do it weekly. I've only missed 1 or 2 weeks because of Christmas and New Year's, but they're going to be coming out weekly. Right now, the next day is our trip to Annick Castle.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll get to That's see us. Fun. You'll get to see our flying lesson.
I'll plug Expedition Roasters again because you guys should go check them out. They're kind enough to like really sponsor us. So like our dreams came true. Coffee sponsors us. Yeah, that's pretty great. And we really love the product. So we wouldn't recommend anything that we didn't actually liked you guys. So
I'll be 1,000% honest. I was very wary with flavored coffee because I like just plain coffee. It's so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know why I'm stuttering. So good.
Because it's that good.
It's so good.
And yeah, if you want some wizarding decor for your home, go on over to Etsy to Akio Designs and check out stuff me and Meg have designed.
And scarves that my mom's made. Mm-hmm. Also, you can join us if you like Disney on our bi-weekly Disney podcast called Grown Up Kids.
We got a lot going on. Sarah, what's going on with you?
I lead a really boring life. I'm just trying to figure out if I'm going to go back to school again this year. I might. Who knows? And I'm going to travel a lot this year.
Yep. Swish and Flick is going to travel a lot this year, hopefully.
So hopefully it'll be a good year. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of good feelings about this year.
Same.
I agree.
So I think it's going to be a great year.
It's going to be fun. We can't wait.
And I currently need to buy new jeans, so yay me.
Same, actually. Are we ending this, or are
well,
we
waiting? Well, Tiffany is no longer with us.
She had to take care of the child.
She had to take care of the baby.
So this concludes this episode of Swish and Flick. What did she even say?
That concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing! Just my voice!
I'm recording.
Do we check to see if it didn't sound like...
Oh, yeah, we should probably...
Testing, testing.
Testing.
Test!
I already talked, like a million times.
Okay, that's fine.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Turn holiday travel from stressful to rewarding. Rakuten helps you save big on travel. They give you cash back when you book with sites like Expedia, Best Western, and Hertz. Even better, you can stack cash back on top of other rewards, like airline miles, credit card points, and hotel loyalty programs. Rakuten partners with over 3,700 stores, including Away Luggage, Ray-Ban, and Macy's, so you can be prepared with all the travel essentials and, of course, cute fits for your trip. Keep the rewards going with cash back on holiday gifts for friends and family. With Rakuten, you'll never miss out on savings at your favorite stores. The stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Join for free and start your shopping at Rakuten.com or use the Rakuten app. That's Rakuten.